today on the front porch a lifelong love of New England contra dance.
People pay me good money to sit down and play for dance. And I'm having the time of my life. I love doing it. And here people pay me money to do this thing that I absolutely adore doing.
For Bob McQuillan, it's like being paid to eat ice cream. He doesn't think he's accomplished anything special in his half century plus of making music, but just about everybody else does. He's written more than 1,000 dance tunes and done as much as anyone to keep the contra dance tradition alive. He recently won a fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts for his contributions to traditional culture, and he's still writing, playing, and enjoying his life. I'm John Walters. Join me and Bob McQuillan on the front porch on NHPR. That's a song called Scotty O'Neill, one of more than 1,000 contra dance tunes written by Bob McQuillan. Bob has been writing songs and playing dances for over 50 years now. He's part of the trio Old New England. We just heard them performing from their CD called Old New England. Bob has published 11 collections of his tunes under the name Bob's Notebooks. Old New England won a Governor's Arts Award in 1993. Bob was given one in 1998, and he was recently given a National Heritage Fellowship by the National Endowment for the Arts. Bob lives in Peterborough, and he joins us to talk about his life and music. Bob, welcome to the front porch.
Thank you very much, my friend. I'm much obliged to be here.
Do you keep track of how many songs you've written?
I suppose so, yeah, sort of.
More or less?
Yeah.
How many?
Well, there are over 1,100 in the 11 books now published, but I got a bunch more. I'm about halfway through book 12 now.
Still writing?
Yeah, oh yeah, the beat goes on.
Can you play them all?
No. Hell no. No, I can't play them to speak of. To play them, you have to be able to finger something. You have to be able to manipulate a musical instrument.
Right.
My deal is not to play the melodies. My deal is to write the melodies down, but I can only play instrumental backup on the piano to back up the melody that's being played by the fiddles or the accordions or flutes or whoever.
That's your specialty as a performer, is to give that sort of rhythmic backbone to the dance.
Yeah, that's all I know how to do. I can't play the piano. You say, play me a tune, I tell you I can't do that.
Just chords?
Yeah.
Same thing with the accordion?
No, I can play the accordion some, but not awfully well. I'm not a very good accordion player.
What makes a good contra dance tune?
I don't know the answer to that. You'd have to ask the dancers, I guess. I don't know.
When you're
you have to have a nice... I can't answer you. I really can't answer that question. I've been asked it before, but I can't tell you what. It's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. When I write a tune, I don't know if it's any good or not, my own self. I have no idea. I may get an impression about it and think this may be a good one, but I can't tell if it's going to be any good until I hear it played. I have to get my cohorts to play the thing. And then we can usually tell, hey, this is going to be all right, or this is needs work, or whatever.
There are hundreds of years' worth of dance tunes around already.
Yeah.
Why write more?
Good question. Why write more? I guess it's fun to do. It's a hobby. Also, with me, it's a little different than perhaps it is with some people. Because the tunes I write are for people. If I run across somebody in the course of my musical activities, I will say to myself that so-and-so needs a tune. So that starts the thing going. And then, so I decide that somebody needs a tune, as I call it, and then I usually, in due course, I come up with one for that person or the situation or animal, cats, dogs, two horses to date, and so on.
So a lot of your songs are named for people.
Oh, yeah. Almost all of them. Not all, but almost all.
When you're writing a tune, are you trying to, I don't know, live up to the standard of those traditional tunes that have stood the test of time?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. It has to be a decent thing. It has to be in the tradition. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a dance tune. One of the pitfalls of this business is writing a tune that somebody else wrote. Same old, same old. You have to be different. There are certain patterns in the music, and if I don't do an original pattern, then I'm treading on somebody else's coattails.
Yeah,
and that's no good. I can't be plagiaristic in the thing. I can't copy.
You find that sometimes you think you're writing a tune, but you're really remembering a tune you heard at some dance.
Yeah, it happens once in a great while. Once in a while, I'll write a tune and I'll play it, and Deanne will say, "You wrote that 3 years ago or 20 years ago or something. It's in book four or something. Such a matter, you know." But once in a great while, I'll trespass even on my own stuff. I'll redo a tune that I've already done. Ralph Page is the great authority on New England contra dancing. He wrote quite a few tunes himself, and they're crackerjacks. He and I were having a discussion along these lines back here years ago, and he said, there's only 13 keys on the piano, meaning in a given octave, you know, on the piano. And so there's only that many notes. His point was that you could rearrange those, but there were certain limitations to what you could do. That's what he was getting at.
This is The Front Porch on NHPR. I'm John Walters with Bob McQuillan, contradance musician and composer. You mentioned that you often write tunes for people who you think need a tune written for them. We are going to hear President Clinton's hornpipe. What made you decide that President Clinton needed a tune?
Well, this was back in his early days, and I just thought it would be kind of fun to write our new president a tune.
It wasn't from those later days when he was doing a lot of dancing around himself.
No, it wasn't.
Well, let's hear President Clinton's hornpipe. This is from the CD, Old New England. President Clinton's Hornpipe, written by Bob McQuillan and performed by Old New England. It's a real workout for your band there.
Yeah, that one moves around a little.
Could you tell me about the other two people in Old New England?
Oh, you bet your life. Well, we could start with, I could flip a coin here, to ladies first, or both ladies. So anyhow, Janie Orzechowski is our fiddler, and she lives up in Newport, New Hampshire. She has a lovely husband and five lovely children, and nice little house right near the Sugar River. They have a whole bunch of chickens and two horses and two doggies and innumerable visiting friends. And it's just a very happy scene up there. Everybody's playing music. The kids play music. They perform as part of the Sugar River Band. Peter is not a musician himself, the husband, but he is a tremendous booster. He supports them in every way he possibly can. And so it's a very happy scene there. That's Janie. Deanna Stiles, our flute player, she also plays piccolo and fiddle. She lives closer by in Deerfield. She lives in a cabin in the woods without electricity or running water. She's a lover of the out of doors and a tremendous gardener. The two of those musicians together are the lights of my life. I am so overjoyed to be a part, have them a part of my life. I'm the luckiest man in the world to have those two to be able to play music with. And I adore them, and I adore their capabilities in our kind of music that we do.
How did the three of you get together?
Well, Deanna and I have played music together for since the 70s in various configurations. Janie showed up on the scene somewhat later on. Somebody back, I can't tell you who, years ago, hired us to do a first night set over in Portsmouth. And they somehow got Jane and they got Deanna and put me in with them and said, would you guys play for first night? So this happened probably a couple of different years that happened. And so on one of those occasions, the thought struck me. I had just lost a band. I had another band, which was no longer with us on this earth. And I said to these two women, I said, what about us? Would you like to form a band? Could we be together? And they agreed it could happen. And so that was the start of New England, of old New England.
How often do you play at dances?
It varies. It's a sporadic affair. We don't have anything regular. We play when called upon, when hired. If somebody wants us, we'll go play for them. We play weddings. We've played for some conferences, different things like that.
Contradance is an ongoing tradition, and I wanted to play a song that's a good illustration of that. It's called McQuillan's Squeeze Box. McQuillan Squeeze Box, performed by Bob McQuillan and fiddler Rodney Miller, and a tune written by Ralph Page. We got three generations of contradance all in one place there. Ralph's name has come up before, and for those of us not up on our country dance traditions, maybe you could explain a little bit more about who Ralph Page was.
Well, I mentioned him earlier on in this interview. Ralph Page was the dean of New England contradance callers, and I guess you could say of American contradance callers. He was very, very famous for what he did. He had a band in the Keene area, Ralph Page's orchestra. He had five pieces, and it was a banjo player and two fiddlers, a bass player and a piano player named Johnny Trombley. And the fiddler was, one of them was old, we called him Old Dick, Halton J. Richardson, a wonderful, delightful man, fiddler. Russ Allen, school teacher over in Keene and a wonderful fiddler. He could read music. He was the only one in the band that could read music. And Dick's son, Junior, played bass. Fine, strapping big lad playing bass. Wonderful bass player. The banjo player didn't turn out as well as Ralph might have wished. And so at one point, there was an empty stool, an empty chair. And right about that time was when I happened to be going to the dances, and I was trying to play the tunes at home, and I was having fun on an accordion. I'd go and try to listen to the tunes and bring them home in my head and see if I could play one. And after a while, I got so I thought I could manage a few of them. So I said to Ralph at a dance one night, I said, hey, I said, if I bring a box over, which that's our term for an accordion, if I bring a box over, can I sit in with you guys some night? He says, bring it next week. So, boy, did I ever. And I brought the accordion and sat in and played with them and had a time of my life. It was a wonderful evening, great fun. And at the end of the evening, he said to me, well, he says, if you'd like to join, be a part of this orchestra, he said, you come next week, you're hired. And boy, was I a happy camper, I'll tell you. I went home to my wife. I said, whoopee, you know, all the good stuff. And I've got a job. And so that was it. And I think we got hired. I think we were playing, I think when I started, for $7 for a night. And if you got eight, well, that went up to eight. If you ever got $10 for playing for a night, that was a big deal. So that's how it all started. Back in 1947, that happened, right? I'd gone to come out of the service from World War II, and somebody said, go to a dance. So I went to Francistown with friends in 46, summer 46, and that's where I got into the dance scene and the music and all.
We're going to take a short break, and then we'll have more with Bob McQuillan. I'm John Walters on the front porch on NHPR. Next time on The Front Porch, the man behind America's oldest newspaper. That's Tuesday on The Front Porch.
Support for The Front Porch comes from Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, featuring a large selection of current titles as well as children's books and offering several book discussion groups. Information at 778-9731. Gilbert Interiors, providing an urban selection of interior furnishings with the pleasure of hometown service. 35 years in Hanover, New Hampshire. And the New Hampshire Lottery, helping New Hampshire schools one ticket at a time since 1964. Stay with us for more of The Front Porch.
This is The Front Porch on NHPR. I'm John Walters with Bob McQuillan, contradance musician and composer from Peterborough. You said in the Ralph Page Orchestra only one of them could read music?
Yeah.
Now that's a traditional, that's traditional music for you, I guess.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
How much of what we have today, the contradance scene, is because of Ralph Page? I hear his name so much.
Yeah.
And he was kind of in the era before there was a lot of recording.
Yep.
So I don't think we really get an appreciation of what he did or who he was these days.
Well, I suppose he's less well-known today. People don't know who he was because they weren't around when he was. Most of us aren't around, but I was around. And so, you know, my age group was around when he was.
Yeah.
He was so well-known. And his when he called dances, it was such a wonderful thing that he did, that he excited people, that he gave them so much pleasure. I think he popularized the contra dancing so much. That's what made it what it is today. I think that's he started it. He started it. He had help in a sense. Dudley Laufman picked up on the thing too, and Dudley from Canterbury. Dudley has got his Canterbury Country Dance Orchestra going, which was a sort of a very loose amalgamation, federation of musicians wherever he went. But he had charisma too, as Ralph did, perhaps even more charisma, Dudley may have. He made the music so exciting and so much fun, and being a young person himself, he brought a lot of the younger set into crowd into his dances. And so that made a big difference in the contra dance scene. That made it a very... expanded the contra dancing in the New England area.
And you played piano in the Canterbury Dance Orchestra.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Quite a while.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Some younger people today kind of put you in the same category as Dudley Laufman and Ralph Page as people who have really done a lot in their lifetimes for country dancing. How do you feel about that? Without making it sound too much like an epitaph or something.
Well, what in hell did I do, you know? That's sort of where I come from.
You wrote 1,000 songs.
Well, yeah, so what? What's that got to do with it? I mean, that's a nice thing to do and it's fun, but it's just, I mean, that's an individual just doing his thing. That's all that is. I don't know what I've done to deserve the accolades that, personally speaking, from inside this package that you're looking at, mm-hmm. I don't know what this package has done to deserve whoever thinks what they say. I don't know. All I do is I'm a New England old-fashioned contradance piano player, and I do my thing, and I love doing it, and I love playing music with those with whom I play. And I got a few kids that I've taught how to play the piano. And I'm just having the time of my life doing my thing. Dave Millstone made a TV. Well, I'll get there. He made a video of that. I guess I could. I'm the
star.
I wasn't thinking the movie. Whatever the hell I am. But it's not just about me. It's about the whole wonderful contra dance scene.
Yeah.
And he calls it, I have a little comment I make called pay to eat ice cream. And people pay me good money to sit down and play for dance. And I'm having the time of my life, especially with my old New England band, play it for a dance. I love doing it. And here people pay me money to do this thing that I absolutely adore doing, pay to eat ice cream. Eat that chocolate ice cream, I'll give you $10, Bob. You know, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So that's what I mean when I say I don't know what I've done to deserve this, because it's something I love doing, and I just go ahead and it's a part of my life.
Well, let's hear another one of Bob McQuillan's 1,000-plus songs. This is Bob with guitarist David Surrett and accordionist Gary Shredzinski playing Frosty's Reel. Frosty's Reel by Bob McQuillan. Bob is on the front porch on NHPR. I'm John Walters. Now, that recording from Gary Shredzinski's CD, Accordion Languages. Gary's not specifically a contra dance musician, but do you work with younger musicians a lot, trying to bring up the next generation of Bob McQuillans and Dudley Laufmans?
Yeah, to a degree I can. Yeah, to a degree, yeah.
Is it a teaching thing, or is it just kind of playing with them?
I encourage youngsters to play. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And I do teach piano to some, as we've already noticed. Some circumstances permit young folks to join, to be on stage, to do the thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where I shine. I like to see that happen real, real well. Over in Nelson, New Hampshire, we have open dance over there every Monday night. And
at 8 o'clock in the town hall. And
and anyhow, there aren't too many young people that do come and play, but when it does happen, they are made welcome. When I play with my band, sit-ins are not especially welcomed, mm-hmm. which is perhaps not a good thing. But we have our own repertoire.
How is contra dance doing? Are people still dancing?
Oh, yeah, you bet they are. You bet they are. I was playing in Nelson last night, and the joint was jumping. It was a good crowd. It was a surprising crowd. It was the biggest one we've had so far this year. Hmm. In the winter, once in a while, it gets down pretty low. There was one night two years ago, when there were more musicians on the stage playing than there were dancers on the floor. This is true.
Did you go ahead and play anyway?
Oh, sure. But we didn't make the whole night. We stopped earlier on. But we actually did have, and so some of the musicians went out and danced. But it was a pretty small scene, I'll tell you. I don't know if there were a dozen people involved overall. I don't think so. Maybe eight. Eight of us. Eight, including the dancers.
Yeah. Is country dancing an easy thing to pick up and learn?
I don't know if it's easy. I suppose it is. If you go to Nelson, I keep saying Nelson, but if you go, I'll get to another one in a minute, but if you go to Nelson, that's very, very forgiving over there. Mm-hmm. And so anybody that had never danced before can get out there on the floor and have all the problems in the world and not be chastised for it and be made welcome and be shown how and be taught. And that's the way Nelson works. It's a very welcoming, welcoming scene over there. In Peterborough, when the first Saturday dances, Steve Zacon Anderson, he's the caller, and Steve starts teaching at 7:30, and he'll have a bunch of people on the floor that never danced before, and he'll show them how, and he'll run them through this thing, and he'll give them a half an hour lesson, and when he gets done with them, they can do the fundamentals. They're all set to go, and the dance starts at 8, and so it works very, very well. So I suppose you could say that it's a lot easier, perhaps, than it used to be. I don't know what they did. I don't think Ralph ever did too much teaching before the dance, that I can recall, at least. Duke Miller did. Duke Miller did, used to run people through. He was a fellow that called over in Fitzwilliam for many years. And he would put people on the floor and run them through this one particular thing. And when they got done doing that, they could dance. Similar idea to what Steve did, but a little different way of doing it.
So you mentioned Monday nights at the Town Hall in Nelson. Where else can people dance regularly if they want to get out and try it?
Oh, there's a fourth Friday, I think it is, in Milford. I'm pretty sure it's fourth Friday. And that's a open dance. That's for both musicians, but the dancers have to pay to get in. So that's a place that works the way you're talking about. Dudley Laufman has a little dance that he does at his house, and I am pretty sure that anybody could go and play at that dance too. Called Wind in the Timothy, on Shaker Road, right across from the big Shaker colony there.
And Dudley and Jacqueline have a website, laufman.org.
Yeah.
So they can find out. People can find out about it there.
Good man. Yeah.
How are you doing? How's your health?
Decomposing these days. I've been waiting to say that all this interview. Composing and decomposing. My health is good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm getting along very well. All things considered, I'm a happy chappy.
Well, Bob, thank you very much for coming in today.
I'm glad to do it.
Bob McQuillan, contradance musician and composer. The best source for his CDs and songbooks online is Great Meadow Music. That's online at greatmeadowmusic.com. We'll post a link on our website, nhpr.org, and we'll also post information about some of the open dances. The Front Porch is a production of NHPR. Producers Laura Colbert and Shay Zeller, with help from Maria DeMeo. The Front Porch is looking for stories about cars. Have you had a memorable experience in a car or on a road trip? A really great car or a really bad one? If you'd like to share your story, call 603-223-2473. That's 223-2473.
Support for NHPR comes from contributing listeners and from the New Hampshire Music Festival, presenting America's tenor NYPD's Daniel Rodriguez in the Spirit of America Pops concert. Friday, July 5th at Meadowbrook Farm in Guilford. Tickets at 279-3300. Behavioral Health Services at Portsmouth Regional Hospital, providing comprehensive behavioral health care, including inpatient and outpatient programs, psychiatric assessment, and referral services. And Orr and Reno, whose business and employment attorneys provide a full range of legal services to businesses, entrepreneurs, and management throughout New Hampshire. This is member-supported New Hampshire Public Radio, WEVO 89.1 in Concord and Manchester, 90.3 Nashua, 104.3 Dover, 91.3 Littleton, WEVH 91.3 in Hanover, WEVN 90.7 Keene, WEVC 107.1 Gorham-Berlin, and on the web at nhpr.org. NHPR, news and information for the Granite State. It's 7 o'clock. Fresh air is next.